Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Why should you just sit here where only I can see them, right? The second story comes in the rubric of surrender. And the title of it is How the Cock Got Its Crown. But most of us know the bird that this refers to as a cock as a rooster. And we know the comb, the bright red comb on the head, which is what they mean by the crown. This story comes from China. Once, long ago, when the world had just begun, there were six suns shining in the sky instead of just one. One spring, the rains refused to come, and the six brother sons parched the earth with their great heat. The farmers of every tribe watched in great dismay as the young green shoots they had sown with such effort baked brown in the white blaze. The wise ones of a village in the west gathered with their chieftain. The chieftain's forehead was creased with worry. Without food, we shall surely die, he said. From within the crowd, an old man said, the only help for it is to shoot the sons. The chieftain's forehead relaxed. That's it. He clapped his hands. We must gather from the tribes the best archers. They must shoot down the sons. So strong archers from every tribe in the land traveled to the village in the west. Their clothes were of many colors and they spoke different tongues. But all were ready to rid the sky of the dangerous brother sons. Alas, though their bows were hefty and their arrows were swift, and six times six they tried, pouring sweat and grunting with exertion, not one arrow reached even halfway to the suns. The archers looked at each other with great humility. In their many languages, they said, the six sun brothers are too far away for our slender arrows. People drooped sadly in the terrible boil. How can we save ourselves, they wondered. Then suddenly, Howie, a sharp-eyed warrior from a faraway tribe, had an idea. Using his sand so that he could speak to all the people, he beckoned them to the edge of a pool of still water. There, moving ever so slightly on its surface, were reflected the six balls of blinding white. Howie pointed up with one hand to the heavenly suns and down with the other to the mirrored suns. Then, smiling hugely, he drew his hands together. Ah, how he seemed to be saying that the suns in the sky and water were the same. Howie drew his bow, but instead of shooting up into the sky, he aimed straight down into the pool. His first arrow passed, pierced the first sun, which disappeared into the bottom of the pool. Ah, He fired again, and the second son disappeared. Then the third, and the fourth, and the fifth son. The people whooped. Howie was shooting down the sons. When the sixth son saw what had happened to his brothers, he fled over the hill. The people fell at once into an exhausted sleep. They planned to wake the next day to sow again their crops. But alas, there was no next day. For the sixth son, frightened and angry, had hidden himself deep in a cave and refused to come out. The night went on and on. The chieftain's forehead crinkled again with worry. The wise ones gathered. The crops will no more grow in constant darkness than they did in too much light, said the chieftain. We must find someone to coax the sun from his hiding place, said the old man. The people first sent the tiger to the sun's cave. The tiger roared and roared for the sun to come out. He batted with a paw at the cave's door. The sun was resolute. Go away, he shouted. I won't come out. The people then thought that the lowing of the cow might lure the sun. The cow bayed gently outside the cave's entrance. But the sun was still sulking. I won't come out, he yelled again. At last, the people sent a cock, a rooster, to crow outside the hiding place of the sun. The cock puffed up his feathers. He neither asked nor begged, but simply shouted exuberantly. The sun was enchanted. What a lovely sound, he said, and peeked out to see who could be making such music. The cock, just as pleased with his own music, strutted and crowed again and again. The sun liked cock's sound so much that he came all the way out of his cave. Sun and cock bowed to each other, and sun gave cock a present of a little red crown. Cock wears his red crown to this very day, whenever he summons the sun. And even if the sun is slow in cold time, remembering with sorrow the deaths of his brothers, he never fails to greet his feathered friend, nor to light the day for the farmers who are growing their crops for the people to eat. That is our second story. Oh, look at that. Oh, that fell down. I thought it would stay there. I guess that the sun sulking and the cock crowing just was too much. And it went off to hide. So when will the light return? Good question. Where I live, it does not get dark at night. I do not mean that the sun does not go down and the sky does not go dark. The sun does go down and the sky goes dark. I mean that because of the street lights, as well as lights of vehicles and lights pouring out from nearby windows, it never gets really dark. even during the new moon, when there is no night light coming from that celestial globe. Now, in fact, there is a street light right in front of my house. And there is a light shining down onto the street and through the windows of our bedroom on the second floor. All night long, even with the shades closed. Now, of course, with the shades closed, it is dark enough that we need to turn on a lamp in the bedroom, and when we turn the lamp off, the bedroom is dark enough for sleeping. And when the sun comes up in the morning, we can see the brightening of the morning sky through the shades, because our bedroom windows face due east. And although we are usually awake before sunrise, should we sleep until sunrise, we will not sleep through it. But still, where I live, it does not get dark at night. And this may be true where you live as well. Only in rural areas with few houses and no street lights, in wilderness areas and at sea, does it get dark at night, really dark. Now, I have been in places that get really dark at night, and so I suspect have many of you. And if you have, you know this, that kind of dark is really, really dark. Your eyes can grow accustomed to the dark, and you can still see because even when it is really, really dark, there's still starlight and sometimes moonlight. But it is really dark. And when the moon is not visible, you can see very little at all. That is what the dark is like when the sun goes away in these stories of the solstice. It is really, really dark. And there is fear that comes with the disappearance of the sun from the sky. It is dark, really, really dark. It is cold. It is scary. It is scary because you cannot see much of anything more than a few feet away, if you can even see that. But you can hear the sounds of animals and birds that see better in the dark than any human being. They're not very loud here in the Northeast, but you hear them. In the tropics, it is different. When I was camping on St. John in the Virgin Islands, the sounds of bird and animals in the dark were so loud that I had trouble falling asleep in my tent. Other places where it gets really dark can be really quiet. I experienced that really dark and really quiet when I was backpacking in the redwoods of Northern California, far away from any city or town. So quiet that once the small group of hikers I was with were in our sleeping bags, and we were soon all sound asleep. And even under a clear night sky with stars above, it was still really, really dark. But then I was awoken sometime during the night by the sound of a deer grazing in that small amount of moon and starlight that we shared. I had to look hard to see the animal that was grazing no more than a few yards from my sleeping bag. Imagine that it is really dark. It is that really dark and that really quiet. And because it is winter, in the time before we had electric lighting, and it is cold, really cold, even with a fire, you cannot see very far or get very warm. And the nights are so long that it seems as if they will never end. That is the experience of the people who told the stories that we are hearing this morning. These stories about the sun disappearing and of all the land going cold and dark. In one story, for years and years. And so they made stories to try to explain why it was this way. They tried to find ways to bring the sun back. That is what these stories of the solstice are about. Being in the cold, in the dark, being in the quiet, and being scared because you could not see what was making the sounds you heard in the distance, and you did not know when it would be light enough for the sun to warm the air and for you to see where you were going. So they told these stories in India, in Africa, and China, in the stories we're hearing this morning, and in other countries and on other continents. They told these stories because these stories are what they knew. Now, we call these stories myths. Myths explain why things are the way they are. Myths also give hope, not just that the sun and the warmth will return, but also that the world and the grand cosmos of which it is a part makes sense. Today we have scientific explanations for the long nights and the cold winters. We know that the sun did not begin as a stolen earring, and it is not the rooster that calls the sun back at the light of day for us. We know that. But that does not mean that the stories, that is, the myths, are not true. What is true in each of these three stories, and you'll hear one more in just a few minutes, is that someone did something either to make sense of the situation or to make it right again. Now, scientifically, we know when the sun will rise and set. We know that winter will begin precisely at 5:44 a.m. on Wednesday, December 21st, here in the Eastern time zone of North America, for that is the winter solstice. But there is a real question in all of this, a question that is both mythical and moral and ever so relevant, given the state of the world and the nation in 2016. When will the light return? And the answer? It will return when someone takes a necessary action or someone gives meaning to what has happened. The light returns when someone does what it takes to bring it back. So will you be the cock or rooster that sings outside the cave when the sun is hiding? Will you be the old man who explains why the loss of an earring put the sun in the sky? Will you be the one who lets the light rays of the sun out of wherever they have been trapped? Perhaps you will be the one, and you are part of today's story. Think about it. And think about this. The Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is a place that brings light into the world. It sends light through the darkness of fear and loss and despair. It creates light in which there can be joy and celebration as we have at this time of the year, this season. And so it is important for you to support the society. for it is you who create it and sustain it. And that myth is as good as any. We will now have the offering.